Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Randall Memphis Young, I don't want you to think about this too long. Just, I want you just to quickly give me the answer to this question, then obviously we'll come back and talk about it. But in Superflex rookie drafts, which people are, you know, kind of studying up, getting ready to do, with a tight end premium, all the stuff that we always play in, where's the first tier break? What pick?
The 107.
Okay. So
in first big tier break.
Right. So you're saying there's other breaks within that, but a top seven pick is going to be treated differently in this draft as of right now.
I think so. For me personally, it's a top six. I think there's too much of a premium you got to pay for Brock Bowers. Sorry, Theo. But in Superflex tight end premium, the top seven are picks that I would have to be really tempted to trade. I'm like really like you're going like a Godfather offer.
Right. So I think that you and I are in line here with the market where there's going to be a hard break in our tier rankings for picks 1 through 6 for some people, and it's going to be picks 1 through 7. And again, I'll just throw out the names. Everyone that's just getting into rookie stuff for the first time right now in our Superflex leagues where quarterbacks have where you could start two quarterbacks. There's going to be three quarterbacks this year. There's Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, and of course, Drake May are projected to go in the top 3 or 5. And then you have the two big receivers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers out of LSU. And then Brock Bowers in our tight end premium leagues is going to be included there. So it really comes down to Washington receiver Rome Odunze, doesn't it?
It doesn't come down to me. I'm a big Rome Odunze guy. I love my brothers and sisters in the fantasy football content creation space. I love the hustle everybody's putting on. But the more I listen to the actual draft people, you know, the Zerlines, the Daniel Jeremiahs, etc., Rome Odunze seems to be their favorite wide receiver in this class. And when those guys are talking, I'm listening because they don't have a dynasty spin. They're just saying, hey, this is a really talented guy. So for me, I know we're going to talk tiers on this show. For me, Rome Odunze is in that big three of wide receivers of Harrison, Nabers, and Odunze. So that's why it's 7. Those three wide receivers, those three quarterbacks, and then, of course, Theo's brother, Brock Bowers.
Yeah. So this is why I think it's an interesting discussion, right? Because we're putting our hard break around pick 107. And again, this podcast, this discussion is about tiers themselves. We'll talk about players, but it's really about giving people some actionable advice to move around the draft board, both with veterans and with picks. And that's why I think a meaningful first exercise, Memphis, is to define the breaks and the sub breaks. So, all right, let's agree 1 through 7 is probably right now a hard break. But what if, you know, there's been a lot of talk that Michigan quarterback JJ McCarthy could also be a top 10, certainly a top 12 or 13 pick in the real NFL draft. I mean, if you get a starting quarterback on, like, say, the Minnesota Vikings, I mean, isn't that guy deserving to be right in that tier as well?
Oh, 100%. That's where the savvy gamer can get ahead of this. You know, you'll not only hear the 107 tier break conversation on this fine podcast, but many others. And you, as a savvy gamer, because you're listening to this podcast in the early part of March, is that you can capitalize on this information. Oh, people think the 108, 109 isn't going to be as valuable. Not yet. But when the NFL draft happens, because I'm hearing that, like, don't be like, The term I heard was, don't be surprised if someone doesn't try to trade up with Arizona or the Chargers at 4 and 5 to jump in to get J.J. McCarthy. And if he gets moved up, it becomes a big 8, especially if he goes to Minnesota. That's a great landing spot. I tell you, I like the Raiders as a landing spot for a quarterback. There, Pittsburgh could potentially trade up. Seattle might want to get the heir apparent to Geno. So it's going to get bigger.
Yeah, I think that even though I like the heir apparent to Geno thing, if McCarthy goes to Seattle, I don't think that will push him into the Big 8, because everyone will be assuming, hey, the best case is I get, I have to wait till week 6 or 7 when Geno ultimately is failing.
The spot that I think is going to create the most buzz is going to be Denver.
Yeah.
And I think Sean Payton's a good coach, history of fantasy production. We bag on Russ, but Russ had 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions last year.
I don't bag on Russ, by the way. I'm a Russ guy.
Yeah, he was back in QB1. I mean, it's what he's been most of his career. He's going to be a value all offseason. But I just say that to say that Denver is a potentially really good landing spot, and it could be a free agent. But with their cap situation, they may almost have to go rookie.
Yeah. Memphis Young of the Dynasty Warzone podcast. You guys go live on the Player Profiler channel, what, every Sunday night? Is that what you guys do?
Yeah, Jerry, my co-host, and I, we're night owls, so we go 9 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday nights, live on the Player Profiler YouTube channel, and then it becomes a podcast on both our podcast channel and the Player Profiler podcast channel on Wednesdays.
Cool.
So it's been out there.
Yeah, we'll talk more about your podcast, because I have some interesting observations from it, including, by the way, Jerry, I was going to say has grown on me, but no, I've been watching you guys again lately. Jerry's quickly become one of my favorite guys and I think I'm wondering if I like him as a podcast or if I like him with you. Cause I like you. I love listening to you. And now I like listening to Jerry. I got to get him on this podcast as well. But yeah,
he's one of my very favorite. Sharp. And I'm going to bring up a point later about one of the wide receivers. That's going to, I don't know that. Frustrate, but will be interesting for the listener today.
Well, don't tease them. What's your point about a wide receiver?
I have Brian Thomas Jr. in that third tier of wide receivers. I have a big three of Marvin Harrison Jr., Neighbors, and Adunze. We've already covered that.
Yep.
The two Texas guys are in a tier of their own. They're in that second tier, which is Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell. And then I have Brian Thomas, and I was on the fence on him anyway.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know who he reminds me of? And I went to say somebody, and Jerry said DJ Chark. And then all of a sudden, we looked at their RAS scores and everything, and I was like, holy cow, this guy is DJ Chark.
So is that good or bad, by the way?
It's good in that DJ Chark went in the second round. He had a couple of years of relevance. Injuries took their toll. What concerns me is that he had one big splashy year. He didn't ramp up 25%, 75%, full power. It was all of a sudden out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So he's a guy that I'm lower on than consensus, but that's why I wore the LSU hat, to let people know I'm not a hater.
Yeah.
It's a baseball hat, but I'm not a hater, but yeah, Jerry pointed that out. Jerry is in growing on me as well. After 7 years of doing the podcast together, he's growing on me too.
Cool. We're talking about our rookie tiers. And the reason that this is important, everybody, is that it allows you to move up and down the board. And we don't mean your own personal tiers. You already know that. But we're going to try to give you a sense of what the Dynasty market. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. You can listen. Any Dynasty podcast creator, content creator that says they don't listen to anyone else's podcast, that's fine. But I think you're missing out on not understanding what the market is doing. I try to listen to other people, especially those that have influence over the Dynasty market, not because necessarily I love their podcast. Most of them I do, but it's because I want to know those that are influencing people what they do. Because I see guys that listen to, say, your podcast, and they end up in my league. I know exactly how they're going to think. And I think that's what the new edge is in Dynasty.
Yeah, and I will say this, regardless of where you get your content, is if someone says something you don't agree with, please don't let your default reaction be to be upset or call that person an idiot. My challenge to you would be is ask this person why, or ask yourself, why is this person saying what they're saying?
Yeah.
Because maybe you can learn from it.
Right.
You know, it's that wisdom of of crowds, the like collective that. IQ, it's like, man, this guy does, this Memphis guy, you know, doesn't like Brian Thomas, but you know what? I'm going to go look at his player profiler card. I'm going to go look at DJ Sharks. Hey, what are we seeing? Where do we think he'll go in the draft? And the NFL is going to give us a lot of answers. Yep. But just when you hear something in the content right now, don't get upset. Don't think someone's dumb. Just ask yourself, why are they saying it? And when you get that clarification, it'll give you a better perspective on that talent.
Memphis, I'm not complaining about vanity metrics here, views, likes, subscribes, all that kind of stuff. But I got to say, I've been doing this podcast now for a couple of years, and we just started it up 3 years ago. Unless StreamYard is broken, this is the most live viewers that we've had in here. There's over 220 guys in here right now watching live. So
That's awesome.
Yeah, last year you were our most popular podcast. I keep trying to say it's a coincidence, but at some point, it's just you. The audience likes you, Memphis Young. And
audience. They're smart people.
Either that really smart or really the other way, right? They don't know the difference between
I don't judge these beautiful people.
Nice. By the way, podcasting, you've been doing it. You know that your podcast has been going a long time. Was the Theo asked me to make a like a tribute to your 1,000th episode. Was that what it was? It was
800. We're a couple of years shy.
And I did it, and it got put left on the cutting room floor. Did you know that or no?
First I've heard of it. No input that the awesome Alan Soslowski had done a nice little piece for us.
I saw
the one Matt and Theo did for
us. No, those are garbage.
It was still touching to us. I can understand where you might feel that, but
garbage.
Yeah, 800 episodes.
Yes, and by the way, mine was more in the let's call it. You know, I said that my favorite, I'll send it to you, but basically I said, congratulations to Jerry and Memphis on your 800 episodes. My favorite one was number 342 when you guys came out of the closet.
Hey,
that was my big, you know, thing that they threw on the cutting room floor.
You know, our goal is to be the Ernie and Bert of the Dynasty content creation. Right. If we can make it that long and make people wonder about what our nature of our relationship really is.
I told Theo
we're doing it right. Right.
I told Theo no more free work if it's going to end up on the cutting room floor without notification. But anyway, let's move on. Dynasty tiers. As we're working through our tiers, and we're going to do some player specific stuff here. We agreed that picks 1 through 7 is probably what the market is favoring right now, even though it should be picks 1 through 8 if you believe JJ McCarthy is a top 12 real NFL pick, starting quarterbacks and super flex, man. It's so hard to get them. And if you can get them at pick 8, oh my God, that's such a win. So whoever running back one is, I've looked at rankings all across the industry. There's no consensus on running back one. And you know what? There shouldn't be. You can like a guy, but realistically, whoever's the first running back drafted and to a good situation where there's going to be scheduled Memphis to get 60%+ of the work, that's going to be my running back one. I'm going to wait. Unless I have a rookie draft before the NFL draft, which I know some people do, I'm just going to wait, and I don't care about talent. I care about opportunity, specifically when we're talking about non-elite running back class.
You know, you nailed it, and this class is very interesting. I have my RB1, and he's in a tier of 3, is Blake Corum, and he's just a professional.
Michigan, right?
Michigan, yep. Older guy, but I'm looking at running back differently in Dynasty. You know, we're getting ready to see this big free agent class. What is that, a week from today, that they're allowed to start signing? And I think that to look at running backs, I'm looking at them like lease cars. You get one for 4 years. You use it to the contractual agreements, and then you move on to the next one. It's just because, I mean, there's always going to be Breece Hall and Jonathan Taylor and Christian McCaffrey and guys that are really good that'll get second contracts.
Bijan,
there's another good one. Saquon, but at the end of the day, most of these guys, it's like if you had invested in Kyron Williams, Rashad White, those are the first two names that come to mind. You're doing great right now. You're thriving, and these guys are probably going to keep that role for another 1 to 2 years. And then you can move on to the next Rashad White and Kyron Williams and not get married to them and have the foundation of your dynasty roster to be your quarterbacks and your wide receivers.
Yeah, I do think, and I agree with that philosophically, especially in a startup, right? But there are a couple running backs, which I think you alluded to, Memphis, where they defy that. They're 22 years old. They're highly productive. You're almost, you know, there's a high probability to get a second contract, right? Like a Zeke Elliott type back in the day. And I think you can count them on two fingers, right? Or three fingers. It's Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson, and Jahmyr Gibbs should all be treated like wide receivers in a sense of like value projecting forward, in my judgment.
And you said the word. What do those three guys have in common, along with veterans like Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey? What they have in common is a strong pass-catching profile. The more you invest, and Derrick Henry is an anomaly, but the more you invest in those between-the-tackles bruisers with the way the dynasty and fantasy game is scored these days with PPR, if you're looking for longevity, it's got to be the Gibbs. It's got to be the guys who catch passes.
Okay. So whoever RB1 is, now you tell me, what's your number one landing spot in the second round? Is it Dallas? Who would be the ultimate team to have a landing spot? And is it the Giants if Saquon's moves on? Who do you think is the best spot for a rookie running back?
Theoretically, it's Houston. But let's assume
they're in the veteran market mode. Okay, I'm not going to count them.
Okay.
But that's a great call.
I think it could be Cincinnati.
Okay.
Word came out yesterday that Joe Mixon is potentially going to be released. I know people say it's Chase Brown season. I am not one of those people. If a Jonathan Brooks or Trey Benson or someone lands in Cincinnati,
pick 49.
But I will say Cincinnati could also be in the veteran market. They're like in the top 6-8 of cap space. So they may bring in one of these veterans as well. I just think the bigger message is that Joe Mixon shot. But I think that's a really good landing spot. The Chargers. Yep. I just saw Harry Snowman. The Chargers, another really good landing spot.
Yep. So the reason I'm asking, though, is, okay, so let's just use Trey Benson, whoever it is, right? You like Quorum. That's fine. Let's say that player RB1 lands in the nuts spot that you love. Is there now a big nine? Is there a rookie tier break at nine now? Does he belong with the rest of them?
Theoretically, yes, but do you see what you're doing?
Yes.
Well, what you're doing is that by talking about, and these aren't hypotheticals, we know there's going to be a running back going a good spot.
Right.
We know J.J. McCarthy's probably going to be a 15, 16.
So they're not hypotheticals.
For the uneducated, they're hypotheticals. Right. But we know these things are going to happen. It just haven't happened yet. And when you play in a game of incomplete information, the value is being able to strategically predict the future, and it's going to blow up in your face. It happens on Wall Street. But to be able to strategically predict the future, you can see, I see where you're going, Alan. You're like, hey, these 109s, 110s, 111s are going to be a lot more valuable than people think.
Yeah.
Because we already have the preconceived seven, and then you start adding J.J. McCarthy becomes a Bronco, and Trey Benson becomes a Bengal, and Blake Corum becomes a Charger, and then all of a sudden
Xavier Worthy. And Xavier Worthy, the speedster out of Texas,
Buffalo.
Or Dallas, or whoever, whatever great spot you like. And now all of a sudden, it's like, wait a second here. That sounds like a pretty good bet at pick 111.
I see what you're doing here.
We're stacking Legos. But I guess that's my point, is right? It's like, we started out saying you want it in if you are an experienced dynasty player, right? We started off talking about this as like, hey, you want a top two or three pick in Superflex this year. There's nothing like the 101, 102, 103. Then we expanded it out. And now as we learn more, so I guess really we're always trying to discover an edge Memphis. Should we just remember that those rookie picks in this window between post-combine and pre-NFL draft, they get like the Bitcoin push?
I the top seven did for sure.
Uh-huh.
Because like something that I do personally and I encourage our listeners to do is stop looking at the 107. Start doing some aggregation of rankings. Hey, who is the consensus 107 in the dynasty industry, given the format I play? And in Superflex tight end premium, that's probably going to be Rome Odunze. So you no longer have the 107. You have Rome Odunze. And if you don't like Rome Odunze, or you would rather trade back and get some value because you see 110 as J.J. McCarthy, these picks now, they're less of the 101 and it's Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. It's less of the 102 and it's Marvin Harrison Jr. And it's the name and not the number for me at this point.
Right. But those names, they can end up in situations that we don't even like. I mean, come on, there's going to be a little bit of tilt. I'm not saying a change in ranking, but if Marvin Harrison goes number three to the Patriots and the Patriots are opting to go for a second round quarterback like a Michael Penix or Bo Nix or something like that, that's going to be a little bit of like, you know, people think, oh, buy low because the talent, like, you know what I'm saying? Like landing spot will matter. So you can plug those guys in there, but value changes will fluctuate a little bit in our tiers.
Yeah, a little, but even the worst landing spot for Marvin Harrison Jr. is fine for me and for Malik Nabers.
He's that guy.
I mean, even if it's Mac Jones, I mean, 160, 170 targets is still 160, 170 targets. I saw Tom Savage make DeAndre Hopkins relevant 1 year. So I would love to have him attached to Kyler Murray. That would be fantastic. A real dream is that someone trades up to draft a quarterback at four and Harrison Jr. falls to the Chargers at five. These are all things that could happen too. I'm not too caught up in the landing spots at the top seven just yet. You know, I will say Rome Odunze, as much as I like him and even Malik Nabers to a degree, those two guys feel like if they landed in the absolute worst perceived landing spots, those are the two guys that I could see fall.
Wow. Okay. So you don't think that those guys are transcendent talents as you think they're very good. They're excellent. They're top 12 dynasty receivers, but not transcendent talents where Marvin Harrison Jr. put him with Zach Wilson. You're still interested.
100%. Cause like I said, volume is, I mean, now you get with Zach Wilson, you get the Garrett, you get the Garrett Wilson corollary, but
well, at least Garrett Wilson wasn't terrible. He was still like a third round value for fantasy.
That's what I'm saying is that 170 bad targets, you're going to catch about 60% of those, maybe more. It the math starts taking care of itself. But like Nabers is like, what if he gets similar draft landing spot to a Jaxon Smith-Njigba, where he winds up with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett? If he winds up in a spot like that, as much as I like JSN last year, it's not been great. And that could very well be the case with Malik Nabers. And you know what? Jaxon Smith-Njigba, I think, went 11th, 14th, something like that. Very high pick. Mm. And it still didn't work out in his favor. So, yeah, I'll be paying close attention to where those two guys land. I think they're the most, I don't say landing spot dependent, but I think they're the landing spot matters more.
Right. For example, and again, you can kind of figure out these scenarios as you want, but if a wide receiver, but Rome Odunze ends up in Atlanta where there's already three good pass catchers there, it's not that you don't like him. Let's say they add like someone that you like in free agent, Kirk Cousins, right? We love Kirk Cousins, right? So he ends up in Atlanta. So Atlanta's sitting there and Rome Odunze, they click button, they run up to the podium. Now you have, that's a situation that happened to JSN last year. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it doesn't mean just, there's only so many targets to go around, and you know Bijan's going to command his, and you know, and draft capital is not a good argument there because Bijan went in the first, Drake London went in the first, Kyle Pitts went in the first, and so did you, Buckaroo. Right. It's definitely going to have an impact.
Side road for a minute here. Just a quick redraft question. I was talking about this with some of our guys internally. Let's say, because you saw the Kirk Cousins to Atlanta talk. Let's just say that happens, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on this because this is a redraft. They don't get a pick eight, they just take like a lineman or something else, right? Atlanta. Drake London, a 1-2 turn pick in redraft if Kirk Cousins is the quarterback?
That's awful aggressive for me on Drake London.
Okay.
I will say that I think another turn away, that 2-3 turn feels more safe there.
Well, give you a couple guys. How about Olave or Drake London under those circumstances?
Man, that's the area that I would put him in. Okay. I would lean Olave because he's already got the chemistry in the and his quarterback's not coming off of Achilles. So right. I would lean to Olave, but that's the spot.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to spend too much time on that. I want to get back to our rookie tiers. All right. So, you know, I kind of jokingly talked you into it. There's a tier of 9 or 10, but let's now like chop up those tiers. If you're going to observe 40 drafts on Monday after the draft, right? The real NFL draft, the rookie draft start, it's mania on your phone, sleeper, notifications, buzzing. What percentage of your drafts, and again, you can't use the term, it's team dependent. What percentage of your drafts do you think will have Marvin Harrison as the first pick versus Caleb Williams as the first pick?
Well, if I have the second pick, I want them all to take Marvin Harrison first. It should go Caleb Williams every single time. And it's not that I love Chicago, and it's not that I love that coaching staff. It's that you said it earlier. There's only so many good quarterbacks. The NCAA has given us wide receiver class after wide receiver class after wide receiver class. It's like six or seven in a row, good ones. there's going to be an eighth next year, right? So if it should be all 40 should be Caleb Williams, but I do believe because of the name Marvin Harrison Jr. and Ohio State lineage, he's going to be the 102.
Right. So, but do you think we're going to see drafts? And let's say he ends up Arizona. So we will see drafts where people have, let's say you're a team that has Josh Allen. I'm trying to think of two quarterbacks. Oh, you have Deshaun Watson. You have Lamar Jackson. And then maybe you have like Baker Mayfield. So you're pretty good at quarterback. You're not great. Do you take Marvin Harrison there? Not you specifically, but there's going to be teams that be like, hey, I'm pretty good at quarterback. I like Caleb Williams, but the landing spot is not, you know, I mean, Chicago is not the greatest landing spot. I mean, you're going to hear people talk themselves into Marvin Harrison that way, right?
Oh, there's going to be mental gymnastics done to get to the guy you want to draft. And here's the thing. It's okay to draft who you want to draft. You know, success rate and what we think is going to be one thing, but get your guy. If you got the 101, you're not going to get both. You're not going to get both. So get your guy.
Yeah. Who's the last quarterback that was any good for fantasy? I guess Justin Fields. I was going to say in Chicago, but who was? Yeah, I guess I answered my own question. But is there really been?
Mitch Trubisky would like a word. Is it Jim Nagy?
Oh,
Matt Nagy.
Matt Nagy. Very good. Nagy. Yeah, but there really hasn't been just real football, a good quarterback in Chicago, like ever. People always say Jay Cutler. He was like QB 14. Maybe it's just a tough place to play football.
Well, here's one for you. So I forget the source that posted it, but they posted every team's last 4,000-yard passer. The Bears, in the history of that franchise, one of the oldest franchises in the NFL, zero 4,000-yard passers ever. Now, I get the weather and the way that the game used to be played, Monsters of the Midway. I get it. But, yeah, they've never had a 4,000-yard passer. But could you imagine if they do get Caleb Williams, they've got DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and then they use 9 on a Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers. Now we got a really interesting offense.
Right. You could easily see them, like, because both of those receivers are gone at 9. You could see one of the speed receivers maybe jumping up or them moving back a little bit. But, yeah, they have to use. But you're saying so both of these picks are going to be used on offense for Chicago in your judgment?
They should be. They invested pretty heavily in the defense last year, and they've got, I think, the third most effective cap space coming up. So they can address some of the defensive wants and upgrades via the free agency window. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's a shorter turn. You know, you can front load those contracts, take advantage of why you have all this cap space, and work your defense that way. I would, if I'm investing in Caleb Williams, right, I'm going to make sure Caleb Williams has everything he needs to be successful.
All right. You mentioned earlier when we're talking about our rookie tiers, Memphis, that Brock Bowers in any sort of premium format is locked into that top 6, top 7 for sure. You know, I realize he's going to be polarizing because in some of the trade calculators, Brock Bowers is already number 2 and he hasn't even stepped on an NFL field. That's always a dangerous game. What if the Jets take him at 10? Is that a good landing spot? Does that solidify Brock Bowers, rookie tight end out of Georgia, into that top 6 tier for you?
In theory, but do me a favor real quick, Alan. I hate to answer a question with a question. Mm-hmm. Who was Aaron Rodgers' last really relevant tight end?
JaMychal Finley, in theory?
Exactly. And some of the younger listeners may not even know who the hell we're talking about with JaMychal Finley.
Well, the point is that Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay tight end in his peak, was always someone that was pushed up the board and always disappointed.
And Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator. And so perception is going to be that it is. But let me lay out a series of events. The Jets draft Brock Bowers. The dynasty world gets very excited because they're already very excited about Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers, much like every tight end that has played with Aaron Rodgers for the most part, doesn't do great. All of a sudden, next year, we're questioning Brock Bowers, and he's worth 75 cents on what you drafted him on this year. Right. So, yes, that will do it, but I'm just always I take tight ends with a grain of salt, and I don't get bummed out when they don't do well. I don't hold it against Michael Mayer that Sam LaPorta had a fantastic rookie season. You know what? Michael Mayer could be this season's Trey McBride. It's just a matter of time with tight ends. So especially rookie tight ends, I'm always a little trepidatious.
We're going to take a short break right here for the listening audience. Very short. It's like 1 minute long. For the YouTube audience, just stick with us. We'll be back in a few seconds.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
All right, we're back with the RotoWire Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast. Alan Soslowski of RotoWire.com, along with Randall Memphis Young. You follow him as I do. Randy, what's your updated Twitter? It's DWZ Memphis. What is it?
That is correct. Dynasty Warzone, DWZ, at DWZ Memphis.
Yeah, and I've linked it in the video description below or in the podcast. So certainly follow Memphis. Always one of my favorite guests to come on the podcast. Knowledgeable, personable, just an overall great guy. All right, I want to talk about Xavier Worthy, and we're basically the funniest part or the most interesting part of Dynasty World was that he got shoved up the rankings, and then there's a pushback of people saying, hey, you should have done that before. Like, people get mad at you for pushing him up because he broke the combine record, right? So let's try to tier him, right? And he's undersized. Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver out of Texas, 165 pounds. And for those of you living under a rock, he set the record for the fastest time ever in the 40-yard dash. Okay, he's a first-round pick in our dynasty drafts. Where do you fall on Xavier Worthy, first with the real NFL draft, and then how are you tiering him in fantasy football rookie drafts?
Well, we saw John Ross get overdrafted in both the real NFL and in Dynasty. And please do not hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying Xavier Worthy is John Ross. I'm just saying that speed is always a commodity. You know, Al Davis famously, you know, he loved fast players. The one thing I like about Worthy is that he's a really good route runner. And that was always the concern with John Ross. And it's always my concern with anyone who's just like naturally fast. Xavier Worthy's nickname in high school was Flash because he was super fast.
It wasn't because he exposed himself.
I don't know what he does when he's not playing football. It's his business.
Raincoat.
Mopery. But he's fast guy. Right. And you mentioned the size, which is historically a deterrent. But the way the game's officiated and the way that the referees call it, and the NFL protects the wide receivers, we've seen more than one slight guy have success. I think the first one was really T.Y. Hilton about 12 years ago, 15 years ago. Right. I think he was like a 180. And then, you know, move that forward, you see Devonta Smith, you see Tank Dell. The size is not a deterrent. You know, could he be Tutu Atwell? 100%. Could he be Marvin Harrison? 100%. It's just, where's he going to go? Like, you know, he kind of reminds me of Marvin Mims last year. I was a big Marvin Mims guy, and it took Marvin Mims, even though he had good draft capital, it took him a little while to establish himself. But I'm a believer. I moved him up into my second tier of wide receivers, and that's just like the combine was confirmation.
Yeah. With Marvin Mims, though, the thing that's encouraging about Mims, if you are a Marvin Mims believer who ended up is, you know, second year player, he's now in the Denver Broncos, is at one of the press conference clips I heard, at least Sean Payton took accountability for the lack of production from Marvin Mims. I heard him say something like, the only reasons Marvin Mims didn't produce was because of us. Now, You didn't realize that last year. I guess sometimes you get caught up in it in first year. But I'm still going to be optimistic on Marvin Mims as well. So Xavier Worthy, let's give him a good landing spot in Dallas or Buffalo, whatever one is your favorite. And would you take him ahead? Like, would you tier him ahead of RB1 in a good spot? So you got RB1 in a good spot. You got Worthy in a good spot who gets drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. Are we tiering those guys together, or are they going to be in separate tiers, Memphis?
They're in the same tier. If both those guys, like the landing spot I prefer that you mentioned is Buffalo. We don't know how much longer Diggs is going to be there. Worthy could easily ascend into that wide receiver one attached to Josh Allen. That's a great spot. But with the way that the game is played and with so many wide receivers, like even in the second round, there'll be great wide receiver value. I would take the running back. If they're going, let's say they get past the magical seven, they're going 8, 9, 9, 10. I'm going to lean to the running back in Cincinnati or the running back in Houston or whomever, if that's the case, as opposed to Worthy, even though I like him.
Yeah. And that's what I think. I think that a lot of dynasty content now, and I get the logic. I'm not crapping on them or anti-running back. My friends over at South Harmon, Mike and Adam, they're always saying, get rid of your running backs. Running backs suck. And you know what they're really saying is spend your draft capital on wide receivers. But I think that when it comes down to it, like running backs are a good reason to win now, right? Like a couple years ago, if you had Saquon Barkley and Austin Eckler, you won a championship, Memphis.
Well, and you're exactly right. And it's, I've always believed in the philosophy and dynasty, especially in a 1QB league, for those that play in 1QB, draft running backs and trade for wide receivers, because there's always going to give you the opportunity to go out and
say that again.
So you draft your running backs and you trade in your rookie drafts. Now in a startup, start wide receiver. It's opposite. But in the rookie draft, if you love Trey Benson and you love Xavier Worthy and they both get great landing spots, take Trey Benson. He's just going to hold his value, because if he goes in the top 50 picks, okay, maybe he goes to the Chargers, top of the second round, right? Be a great spot for a guy like that. Great athlete, great landing spot with Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert. He is going to maintain his dynasty value for a much longer time. He can fade an injury. He can fade an underperforming season. Whereas if Xavier Worthy goes and has an underperforming season or gets hurt, his dynasty value gets scalped. So that's where I come down on those two.
I'm going to take a little bit of a turn here and just change the topic to, like, and we're going to come right back to our dynasty tiers. But I want to point out something that you do as a professional podcaster is, and I have an issue with our guys at RotoWire, which, by the way, they are doing a great job fixing this. And I've done this a million times too. Your name, when you're talking about a player, you're repeatedly naming that player, right? You're saying Xavier Worthy. You're not saying he or him, or you're saying Worthy. Now, a couple of times we say him, but that is good technical podcasting right there, because people come in and out of the podcast. They don't know who the hell you're talking about. So I think
Do you want to know where I learned that?
Go ahead.
Reading the reviews on our show. So on the Dynasty Warzone channel, people are like, hey, could you use less pronouns? Could you be more specific of who you're talking about? Because I don't know that, like, maybe you were listening to this yesterday. You had to go to work, and now you're listening to the second portion of it today, and you don't remember who we were talking about. And if I don't say the player's name a couple of times, I'm not making it a good show for the listener. So that's where I learned it, was from my listeners.
Yeah, it's called being a generous podcaster, right? There's a lot of different ways to be a generous podcaster. Like when you for example, you're a generous podcaster with your guests, with your hosts, opposed to some of the podcasts that I may or may not appear on the Player Profile Network, where you have, it's like, oh, I'll say it, like with Matt Kelly, for example, right? Talented, A+ elite level podcaster, but it's like playing pickup basketball with a guy who doesn't pass.
Matt is a very good orator. And when Matt is so used to doing individual work that I think for him, and to his credit, he's gotten a lot better with distributing the ball when he's a
guest. I disagree, but that's
I will just say, I know that he's mentioned that is something that I think maybe you brought out in him, but that he tries. But I think he does so much individual content with, like, his top 10 takeaways show. He's just used to.
Well, the problem is he's hyper talented as a broadcaster. It's like I said, when you use the pickup basketball analogy, and the Podfather, he's like this guy that's just draining threes from the logo, And then, but the idea is also to keep your teammates involved in some capacity. But again, the point was not to trash Podfather, which I don't mind trashing Podfather.
Publicly, no, not at all.
He's a good friend, obviously, of us both. But I was saying that you have a, I've noticed, and then we'll get back to our dynasty tiers, that you have developed into, you've shaved off your, the rough edges. You are doing a smooth broadcast now. I really noticed the difference just in 1 year. And again, I'm always looking to improve my game, but I've noticed it with you, Memphis Young.
Well, I appreciate that. And it's just, if you're not growing, you're dying.
Yep. You should look back at the content you made from a year ago and get like douche chills. I always say that. You should hate the content you made a year ago because it shows that you grew.
I can dig that.
Yep. All right. We're talking about our dynasty tiers. Just quickly, Caleb Williams, we talked about as our tier one locked in superflex in a single quarterback league for our friends that play in non superflex. If you have a rookie draft coming up, and where should he actually go? Like, is Caleb still that great of a draft pick that he's a top six, top seven guy in single quarterback? And let's say you have like Jared Goff as your quarterback. So you have like QB 13. You could always improve on that.
In a one QB like that, I wouldn't take him in the first round. Just me personally.
You would take Worthy ahead of him?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I would take a lot of these running backs and wide receivers and Brock Bowers over him, especially if I've got a guy who's been giving me top seven, eight, at the position anyway. It's not like he's Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson right. or Josh Allen is going to come in and chip in double digit rushing touchdowns. And we just talked about how the Bears have never had a 4,000 yard passer. No, I am going to look elsewhere with Caleb Williams.
Okay.
In a one QB. Right. Now, if I was going to take a QB if I was going to reach on a QB, cause it's completely different for me, he's in tier two of quarterbacks for me in a super flex. Is Jaden Daniels.
Right.
But if I'm taking a quarterback in a single quarterback league, I think Daniels' floor is very low, but I think his ceiling is very high. So in a one QB league, I want that high ceiling guy.
Yeah, let me underline that because that is a excellent point. So floor matters in superflex, ceiling matters more in single quarterback, right? You want to take, you know, the crazy shot because you're always going to be able to find Ryan Tannehill, Kenny Pickett, where if those guys are just not even like, you have to pay premium prices for QB 29 in a super flex where you could just pick those guys up sometimes on a waiver wire, obviously depending on the roster size. Cause I get a lot of questions still about single quarterback. Drake May, I'm going to presume for a minute that he is pick two. Okay. I know that Jaden Daniels is mocked and, not laughed at, but he's being mock drafted to pick two. But let's say Drake May goes to that good spot with Cliff Kingsbury or another good spot. I mean, if he goes to New England, it's a different conversation. I guess really it's I'm asking for a player eval on Drake May, but if he goes pick two, where would you rank him? Where would you tier Drake May for our Superflex leagues?
Well, I'll tell you, starting right now, I have him in the same tier as Caleb Williams for different reasons. So I have three my guys so far this year. We've already talked about Blake Corum. My other one is Drake May. I love Drake May. In my opinion, he's this class as Justin Herbert. Mm. I think Caleb Williams is the Joe Burrow, the clear 101, the best talent at the quarterback position. Don't know that he's going to be the best quarterback, but I think he's got the most talent. I think Jaden Daniels is Tua, that big name coming out of the SEC, won a Heisman, had great teammates. And then you have Drake May, who I think is going to be this class's Justin Herbert. I was listening to Albert Breer the other day, and he said the GMs in Indianapolis were raving about this kid as a leader, as an alpha. And when I hear leader and alpha in a world of alphas, so this guy can get it done. I would love the landing spot with Terry McLaurin, Cliff Kingsbury, Jahan Dotson. They just signed Zach Ertz. Brian Robinson's okay. Maybe they add a yeah, that would be the spot. But for me, Jerry and I did a mock draft this past Sunday on our show, and the quarterbacks went 1, 2, 3 for Jerry and I. Right. And Drake May was my pick at the 2 overall. That's how high I am on him. So I don't know that I could get much higher.
I have a feeling that, well, because the reason Cliff Kingsbury, who's now the offensive coordinator with the Washington Commanders, he likes his mobile quarterback, right? So I guess there's an easy connection to be made there with Jaden Daniels out of LSU. But the third spot, if that does happen, if it goes Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, it's pretty obvious Drake May will be the third pick. It's really a question if New England wants to make the pick or trade it to, you know, we've heard the Raiders want to come up. We've heard the Giants want to come up. We've heard the Broncos. I mean, you know, there's a bunch of teams that could come up. So, and I guess for fantasy football, Roma's hoping it's not New England, right, Memphis?
I'm fine with that. That was the mistake I made last year, thinking that about Houston. Defensive-minded first-year head coach in D'Amico Ryans. Who's he got that in common with? Oh, yeah, Gerard Mayo, the new head coach of New England. Except last year, Bobby Slowick, who had come over from PFF by way of the 49ers. First-time OC. Now New England's got Alex Van Pelt, so that's a little bit different. There's a little bit more of it. Then they drafted Tank Dell. They had Nico Collins. They could draft a wide receiver. They could sign one in free agency. DeMario Douglas is there the way Nico Collins was there. I perceive last year I had C.J. Stroud too low. I'm going to put my hand up in the air. I own that. And I'm not going to make that mistake again and say, oh, it's New England. Oh, it's a defensive-minded head coach. Oh, he doesn't have weapons. Again, yeah. I made that mistake last year. And New England plays in a division where points will always be of a premium, which means the quarterback has got to score points to keep up with Josh Allen and Tua. I know that we're supposed to say the Jets because they have Aaron Rodgers. I'm not saying that. But, no, I don't think New England's the detriment that other people do for anybody because of what – I learn every year. You've been mentioning I've been doing this for a long time. Every year I try to learn something new, and that was my number one takeaway from 2023 was – don't assume that it's anything. Just learn and treat every situation individually, and you'll tend to wind up on the right side of it.
Yeah, I like the comparison. I had not thought of that about New England perceived bad landing spot last year. Houston perceived bad landing spot. It's almost hard to get back into that mindset of thinking how negatively we thought of Houston last year because Nico Collins hadn't broken out yet. People thought Tank Dell was like a joke. I mean, I know that some people love Tank Dell. Don't get me wrong. If you loved him that much, you would have taken him in the first round of your rookie draft. You didn't. You got him in the third round. You got him in the late second round. So no one thought, no one took that completely seriously. And, Devin Singletary was your starting running back. It was a disaster zone. And I'll tell you right now, when I was on the clock and having to pick between like Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, in the four drafts, I had that option. I took Bryce Young in three of them, and I took Jahmyr Gibbs in the other. I didn't even think to take him. And again, I didn't like Bryce Young. It's not like I liked him. I was like, oh, he's the 101. The 101 has special insulation. I was going with my process, and it was a terrible, terrible decision.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not getting too caught up with Jaden Daniels. And I know that's not necessarily a topic, but that's why I don't have him in the same tier as Caleb Williams and Drake May. And I know you mentioned Cliff like mobile quarterbacks. I think Drake May rushed for 800 yards 1 year. So he's mobile enough. He's like Patrick Mahomes mobile. Right. He's not Lamar mobile. There's different mobiles for quarterback. But for me, it's like, if you look at the 62 years that Jaden Daniels has played college football, it's like one of these things is not like the other. One of these things is an outlier. And I'm not saying that he can't repeat that. And I'm not saying that he can't be successful in the NFL, but that gives me pause. People are higher on Brian Thomas than I am. I love Malik Nabers.
I'm laughing at the Brian Thomas hate, but go ahead. We're going to get to that. That's my next thing for you, but go ahead.
But we have two potential first-round NFL wide receivers, a great head coach, an organization or a college with a tremendous history. Him and J.J. McCarthy are in a tier for me, and I call that the trust fund tier. Mm. You play for an elite power. It's why I was speculative on Justin Fields. Sorry, dude, you came out of Ohio State. I know you're a good athlete, but right, I also know that you had Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Garrett Wilson and all these other different great wide receivers. It doesn't mean that he didn't make them good wide receivers. It just means I've not seen a consistent track record to say this is who you are.
All right. You brought up an important stat when we – break down our rookie tiers here. Memphis, this is a good one. I'm sure a lot of people watching say, yeah, I knew that already, but I didn't. So this podcast, I told you, this is a completely selfish podcast. I created this to ask the questions that I had when I was listening to other people's podcasts. Like, I don't come in here and say, like, hey, I have all the answers. I just bring on people that I like listening to and share that with the audience, whoever tunes in. You were talking specifically about Drake May and his mobility. I just say in the last 2 years of his college career, 22 and 23, guess how many rushing yards? Don't look it up, Memphis. 2 years, rushing yards.
1,425.
That's aggressive. It was 1,150.
Okay. Well, I was thinking, like, I think he had 800, and then I thought maybe
7 and 450. Seven.
Okay. I was thinking 8 and 4.
You ruined the bit. The bit would have been like, you should have said lower. Like, oh, let me see. He had 400 a year, you know. But anyway, point is that this is more. This is a guy that's on 3rd and 8. Almost can give you like a Josh Allen. He's the same size, more or less, right? Can give you a Josh Allen neck breaker, drive continuer.
With small like hands, bro. Be careful of the small hands. Remember the Joe Burrow. So that there's something else that comes. 9-inch hands. Remember what Joe Burrow had, like 8 3/4 inch or something. It's not what it used to be.
Not like our guy Penix with his 10.5 inch.
You know, there's some weird stat, and I didn't realize this was going to come up, or I would have had it for the audience. There's some weird stat that if a quarterback has 10-inch or larger hands, their odds of success is like 80% or something ridiculous. And I like Penix.
80% higher or 80%?
Higher, yeah. You're much more likely to be successful in the NFL the larger your hands are. That's why it's such a big topic of conversation when, like, they're really abnormally small, like the Joe Burrow conversations.
Yeah. All right. Well, Joe Burrow so far hasn't seemed to bother him. By the way, I don't want to go too much into the veteran stuff with our last few minutes, but Joe Burrow, is he still a top five, like, dynasty quarterback for you?
No, I actually moved him down before last season. You know, you said go back and listen to your content from last year. I moved him down because he doesn't have that rushing upside.
Okay.
And it was never about the injuries.
The weaponry, that was good.
Yeah, I think the quarterback can make the weapons, and sometimes the weapons can make the quarterback. Yeah. And when they're all firing, like Patrick Mahomes makes the weapons in Kansas City. Right. You know, I'll be honest, sometimes I feel like the weapons in Philadelphia make Jalen Hurts. Now, his running abilities add a whole different point scoring format, but Joe Burrow doesn't have that rushing. And I mean, If he winds up being more Jared Goff than Josh Allen, from a fantasy perspective anyway,
yeah,
I don't know that's what you're signing up for if you take him at 5.
I just saw like a news item that said Saquon Barkley to Philly, like, is a possibility. That could really hurt those tush-push TDs for Jalen Hurts as well. So,
well, I thought we would have thought last year with DeAndre Swift. Here's the thing.
He's not a goal line back.
Don't think anyone's coming in and taking anything away from Jalen Hurts.
Okay, I like that.
That's his bread and butter. I thought that 2 years ago when the Bills were continually bringing in running backs, whether it was drafting James Cook or Damian Harris, bringing guys like that in. It's like, oh, they must want to run him less. And then what Josh Allen do? He had 15 rushing touchdowns this year. That's how he does it. I think Jalen Hurts is always going to be fine.
Would Derrick Henry to either one of those teams, Bills or Eagles, would that convince you that some of those rushing TDs would come down for the quarterbacks?
I truly don't. Like, if it's first and goal from the 1 when Philadelphia, it's the tush push. Now, in Buffalo, I think they'd be much more likely to give you the 1 yard
to Henry,
to Henry than they would Josh Allen. Right. And that always makes me nervous. I remember Ben Roethlisberger used to be a big mobile guy. And then, you know, that trying to do too much, eventually the injuries wore him down. We've been very fortunate with Josh Allen. I think he's a national treasure. We should protect him at all costs from a fantasy standpoint, especially dynasty. But yeah, I think at some point someone will come in there, especially with him, and slow down the rushing TD upside.
All right. I want to ask you about 3 more players. I mean, we have about, you know, 8 or 10 more minutes here, so we're going to have to move quick. Michael Penix had a good combine. There is actual real discussion about him sneaking into the back of the first round for a team that, say New England, for example, takes moves back, right? Just like, they don't want to take whatever quarterback's there. They get the big haul. They move back to the 20s. Is that something? Is Penix somebody then, if he goes in the late first round, that would then belong in the tier? Again, I'm going to give you hypothetical. The big 3 quarterbacks go in the first 3 picks. J.J. McCarthy's a top 12er, so he's QB4. And now Penix, QB5 in the late first round to someone like New England. Does he belong in that strong tier that we've created?
He should be a first round pick, like 111, 112.
Okay.
I'm getting, if he gets first round draft capital, I'm going to get the quarterback. You know what? I could be getting Kenny Pickett and I would be very sad, but I like the fact that he's a little bit older. He's played in a lot of high pressure games. He's played, with good wide receiver. I mean, he just kind of already feels like a pro.
Right.
You know, and then I actually brought this up because I heard it on a gambling podcast, is that we heard the Parcells rules, right? The for a quarterback. Are you a senior? Do you have 30 career starts? There's like four principles of being a college player that Parcells liked. And Penix meets most of those as well, as does Bo Nix.
Yeah. Yeah, Bo Nix, I just didn't, again, this is eyeball to, I didn't watch any Bo Nix other than like YouTube highlights. I'm not going to pretend like, you know, I'm some Bo Nix guy, but those combine throws definitely look different than the other guys. They looked a little weaker, they looked a little shorter. Now, in my judgment, processing speed is the only thing that matters in the NFL. I mean, obviously, it's the only thing, but it's the most important thing. And there's no way to really measure that until they actually get in a game.
No, you're 100% right. And I was just looking. How many combined years? Let me ask you a question. I know we're trying to wrap it. How many combined years has Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix Jr. played college football? Between the three of them, how many combined years of experience do those three have?
Okay, so I'm just going to take a guess here. And based on what you said, I'm going to guess six.
No, they have a combined 16 years of college experience. No, I'm sorry, 17 years.
Right. But you see how you're supposed to do this? You're supposed to guess low because I knew you were going high. I'm setting you up. If I would have said 18, you would be like, oh, you know, like, so that's.
I'm going to add that to my podcaster's tool bag. So I have your, that next time.
You make
time.
Your guess look good. You make your guess look good.
So Penix has been in college and so has Daniels for 6 years. Six total years on a college campus, and then Bo Nix is five. So 17,
Van Wilder.
They're still going to do all real well, but just wanted to throw that out there. I thought that was an interesting little nugget for you.
Yeah, I'll use that one. That's a good one. A couple other guys I want to talk about. Now, you said that you're not as hot on Brian Thomas as some of the other dudes. Out of LSU, he's probably going to be a first-round pick. He's got all the measurables, played at a good school. Blazed at the combine. If you had to just to explain it to my grandmother, what's the reason that this guy who checks all the boxes, right? Why wouldn't you take him if he ends up in a pretty neutral to good spot in the first round? Say something like, you know, New Orleans, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, any of those places.
He wasn't the number one receiver on his own team. His career yardage goes 359, 361. 1177. His career touchdowns went 2, 5, 17. Mm-hmm. And he's never been the one on his own team. If you're drafted in the first round, a lot of times you're expected to be the one or push the one. I just don't think he's that guy. Could be.
Fake alpha.
Yeah. You know, like I said, I saw a comparable to Paul Richardson the other day. Jerry compared him to DJ Chark. I just think that this feels like that Josh Dotson, that Corey Coleman, you know, those guys went in the first round and it just wasn't a thing. That's just the vibes I get.
Fair enough. I like that. I still like Keon Coleman. I don't care that he was a slow 40. I had read that he ran one of the fastest times in the gauntlet drill, which again simulates real NFL conditions rather than, and by the way, Keon Coleman at FSU, he is like monster looking. I don't think he's going to go in the first round of the real NFL draft. For the Theo is doing a rookie guide. He asked me to write up somebody. I picked him. I still like, actually, I went back and actually watched him. And again, I'm not a tape watcher, but sometimes just, you know, you watch football in Memphis, you believe what you see. If he ends up in any spot where he's going to get immediate playing time, I could see taking him at like pick 12 in your rookie draft.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not super high on him now, but the one thing he can do is he can get open. And you don't have to be fast. This is the trap we fall. Cooper Kupp wasn't fast. Right. Keenan Allen wasn't fast. But you know what they both are? They're pretty bursty. They can explode. They create separation. And in the NFL, when the window's about a 1 foot by 1 foot square that the quarterback has to put the ball in, and that may be generous to say 1 foot by 1 foot, I think Keon Coleman, given his size and his wingspan and just the overall nature of him, I think he's going to be fine. And I think people – that's why I always tell people to be careful, because there gets this drumbeat of negativity around a guy. And then no matter how good it becomes, they still see him in a negative lens. So just stay neutral on everybody until you have more information, unless there's a guy that you love. Like you love Keon Coleman.
Yeah. I mean, I don't love, I liked him, and then everyone else started hating him, which made me like him more. And
that's how I wound up with Caleb Williams. Like, I didn't like him all throughout the college process. I was like, I had a lot of questions, and now it feels like everybody else has turned their back on the guy. So I'll be the defender of Caleb Williams. I tend to zig where the public zags as well.
Yeah. Trey Franklin out of Oregon is the guy who's falling Memphis. He's no longer in any mock drafts in the first round for Dynasty and Fantasy. I don't see him in there anymore. Do you agree with the fall?
Yeah, I don't think he was special. I mean, I know people liked him. I don't know why he fell. I mean, good burst score, good 40 time, good catch radius.
That's what I'm saying. He did well, and people dropped him.
You know, here's the thing. Everybody's going to have fallen out of love with him, but let him land in Buffalo. Or let him land. Let the Chargers trade back from 5. Someone wants to come up to 5 to get McCarthy, and let the Chargers land at like 17 or whatever. They trade back with the Raiders or the Seahawks or whatever, and they draft Troy Franklin there. See how low he goes in your rookie draft then. This is the kind of guy that you can capitalize on, because much like Keon Coleman, he's got this perceived negativity around him, and I don't understand why yet.
Yep.
Yet. Now, I can understand if he lands in a crappy situation. What if he goes in the second round of the NFL draft to New England and he's the wide receiver one for Jaden Daniels or Drake May? Do you hate him then? So it's that was an interesting one.
Yep. Memphis, you did it again. You follow him as I do at DWZ Memphis. His podcast is the Dynasty Warzone, which goes live on Sunday nights on the Player Profiler Network. YouTube channel, or can be found in their podcast feed. Just I have put all the links in a video and audio description below. Memphis, you become a RotoWire podcast favorite, so we appreciate you. And by the way, if there's anyone on this podcast, any players that we didn't tier for you, you can let us know in the comments, and myself, Memphis, we'll get back into those comments and we'll let you know what tier they're in. And all right, everybody, we'll be back next week with another RotoWire Dynasty Fantasy Football podcast. We stream live every Friday at 10:30, and then we post it immediately to the podcast feed. Good luck in your Dynasty leagues and your Dynasty drafts.
The sun goes down on my side of town. That lonesome feeling comes to-